How do John's famous words, "the Word became flesh," help us understand John's gospel? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on John 1:1 through 7:1. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or check it out at issuesetc.org. This new commentary covers the first six chapters of John. The Concordia Commentary on John by Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Bill Weinrich. Well, the season of Lent is upon us, and it's a time of, shall we say, ambivalence for many Christians. I hate to think that it's just a mood thing. I'm not in the Lent mood for the next 4 weeks. I don't feel like Lent. This winter's been too long. It's been too much of a downer already. I feel like spring already, although that is what Lent means, is spring. It's simply the time of the year where the church celebrates this 40 days before the resurrection of Jesus. Now, there are a lot of historic practices that surround the season of Lent for the Christian. Does Lent matter outside the church? And inside the church, does it matter how a Christian observes Lent? We're going to answer that question and others on the season of Lent, especially the danger of rejecting Lenten practices. Pastor Todd Peppercorn joins us for the next few minutes of the program. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of a recent article for The Federalist titled "Why Lent Should Matter to Everyone." Todd, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Well, you've written the article, "Why Lent Should Matter to Everyone." Make your case for us.
Well, I think that there are two ways that we can approach Lent. First is approaching Lent as a spiritual discipline for the Christian. Okay, so there's kind of the internal church understanding and use of it, and then the second is for the sake of the witness to the world. And let me start with the second one first. Lent gets recognition and acknowledgement in just about every major media outlet in the world. It does largely, although not entirely, does largely because of the Roman Catholic Church and their practices surrounding Lent. So first off, this is one of the very, very rare occasions when modern media is intentionally paying attention to stuff that churches do, and are not necessarily viewing this negatively. A lot of times they do, but not necessarily. So there is a tremendous opportunity for us as Christians to, in our practice of Lent and of other church traditions, but of Lent, to provide a positive witness to the gospel. So that's kind of number one, and I think that's pretty hard to avoid. Number two is simply there are so many places, so many things in the scriptures that we as Lutherans have a tendency to say, well, because I'm saved by grace through faith, that means that I can do anything I want, whenever I want. And if anybody ever tells me that something isn't a good idea, then I'm going to do it as an exercise of my Christian freedom. Obviously, that's a little bit of an extreme case, but there's ill sense of that. I have had many conversations as a pastor of people that are basically saying, well, I'm not going to do anything in connection with Lent because somebody told me it was a good idea. Really? Is that really our best argument? So I guess that what I would implore, first of all, is to look at what specific practices are we talking about? What does the scriptures actually say about them? Why are they of benefit? And then move forward from there. kind of saying practices of Lent is a that's a pretty big bucket.
Well, and it's not like we have to make up anything. The church has a very well-established triad of things that are practiced by Christians all the time, but receive kind of that special emphasis or maybe an intensified practice during the season of Lent. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I can't think of any reason a Christian would have anything against any of those things, since they're all commended by our Lord in Holy Scripture.
Well, what you would think so, but I have sure I have had an awful lot of conversations arguing, particularly against fasting. Fasting is Old Testament stuff. It was required. Jesus fulfilled this by fasting 40 days in the wilderness. Therefore, I don't have to fast. And furthermore, if I do fast, am I denying Jesus' work? That's the questioning with fasting. And I think that's worth exploring. Hard to argue against prayer, and it's hard to argue against charitable giving. But it's not that we Christians necessarily do those either. They're just hard to argue against.
Well, let's talk a little bit about fasting. I recently read a Lutheran pastor out in your neck of the woods had blogged on this, and he essentially said, after a very, very lengthy, wordy blog post, that, look, we are saved by grace and grace alone, and to do anything like fasting during Lent, whether you intend it to or not, will militate against a belief in Christ's all-sufficient work. How do you respond to it, Pastor Peppercorn?
I don't see the evidence to that. I understand the point, but again, when we look at what the Scriptures say about fasting, Jesus' words, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, when you fast, don't oil your face. Don't make it look like you're fasting. You're not doing this in order to make a show. So that "when" is a pretty heavy word, in my opinion. So that there's so much behind that, both in Scriptures themselves and in Christian tradition. Now, I do think that we can ask the question, am I fasting or am I doing anything in order to gain God's favor? And like anything, fasting or other spiritual disciplines can, of course, be abused. However, just because something is abused doesn't mean we should toss it out completely. You can abuse reading the Bible. I know all kinds of people that would argue that they're going to heaven because they know their Bible. Well, that's not actually faith. That's Trivial Pursuit. So we have to be really precise in why something is being done. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What's the here's the easy one. What's the danger of saying, look, it's all just pre-Reformation, old Roman Catholic stuff that we didn't clean out the closet sufficiently and it somehow found it there and we're still scrounging around in there. And that's why we don't do it. We're not Roman Catholics. What's the response to that?
We aren't Roman Catholics, but we are Catholic. That is, we do recognize the historic practices of the Church. The Augsburg Confession and really the whole confessions are quite clear on that we do not reject ceremonies out of hand, but we retain them unless they explicitly reject the gospel. So there is a quite clear distinction there, and we can actually have a common ground of conversation with our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. That's not a bad thing. Now, does that, if they're starting to think, well, if I fast, that must mean that I believe in works righteousness, okay, then that obviously is a problem. However, that is not the big problem. You know, just like nobody is getting fat because they eat too much broccoli. In the same way, I really do not think that the majority of people who practice fasting are doing so, especially in Lutheran circles, let's say, are doing so in order to gain favor with God. I just don't see it.
And the other one would be with a couple minutes before we wrap up our conversation, what is the basic danger of simply saying, look, all of the Lenten disciplines, and this isn't the Roman Catholic objection, this is just the general objection.
Sure.
All the Lenten disciplines, since I don't have to do them, I'm not going to do them. In fact, I don't think anyone should be doing them. What's the danger of rejecting the ancient practices, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, under the rubric of Lent? What's the danger there as far as you can see it, Pastor?
The danger there is very simple. I am saying, first of all, I know better than almost 2,000 years worth of church history, and I therefore can make a judgment on how this is going to either benefit or not benefit me. I would make the argument that these historic practices have served good biblical purposes for a long, long time in the history of the church. And if I reject that sort of out of hand because I think they might be misunderstood, I really think that I'm rejecting a lot. I am losing a lot more than I am gaining for the sake of a misguided sense of freedom.
You issue a challenge. We've only got about a minute here, but you issue a challenge to Christians and non-Christian friends alike this week. You say, try focusing more by doing less. What do you mean by that?
In order to focus more on anything, whether we're talking about in a secular realm or if we're talking about in the Christian realm, in order to focus more on something, you are saying, I am not going to focus on something else. So in a secular world or in a kind of a left-hand kingdom sense, when I need to focus on something, that means shutting out distractions, getting away from outside influences. If that is true, if we're talking about computers and cell phones and whatever the distractions of the day are, how much more is that true when it comes to hearing the Word of God, where we have not only all of the regular distractions, but we also have Satan, sin, and our own flesh along the way? And that really is at the heart of many of these disciplines, is saying, I am intentionally going to not do these things for a time, not because they're in themselves evil, but so that I can draw my focus in on what Christ has to say to me in His Word.
Folks, you can read Pastor Todd Peppercorn's Why Lent Should Matter to Everyone at our website, issuezetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and he's written that article for The Federalist, Why Lent Should Matter to Everyone. Todd, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure.
By the way, you can listen to a 7-part teaching by Pastor Todd Peppercorn on the penitential Psalms right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. today, this Thursday afternoon, March the 6th, at issuesetc.org. A 7-part teaching by Pastor Todd Peppercorn on the penitential Psalms, apropos of the Lenten season, and it'll come on right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with our good friend, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. We're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, and the fall into sin, finding Christ there, even in the garden, even in the midst of our first parents' first rebellion, right after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
If you find yourself near the heart of Angelina County, Texas, then God wants you to visit the First Lutheran Church of Lufkin. We are gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear God's word of forgiveness in Christ, crucified for sinners, each Sunday morning beginning at 10:15. Further details and contact information can be found at our website, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net. fll.ctsmemberconnect.net.
The CLCC Spring Conference, Building Up the Body of Christ, is April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Join us, won't you, with Pastors Jonathan Fisk, David Kind, and Rob Jarvis, and explore ideas for engaging youth and younger adults to become more involved in the life of the church. We hope you can be there with us. All the conference details are at theclcc.org. Building Up the Body of Christ, April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Get registered today at theclcc.org.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.